He watched the posturings of the robots on the visiplate. They were bronzy gleams of smooth motion against the shadowy crags of the airless asteroid. There was a marching formation now, and in their own dim body light, the rough-hewn walls of the mine tunnel swam past noiselessly, checkered with misty, erratic blobs of shadow. They marched in unison, seven of them, with Dave at the head. They wheeled and turned in macabre simultaneity, and melted through changes of formation with the weird ease of chorus dancers in Lunar Bowl. Donovan was back with the suits. "They've gone jingo on us, Greg. That's a military march." "For all you know," was the cold response, "it may be a series of calisthenic exercises. Or Dave may be under the hallucination of being a dancing master. Just you think first and don't bother to speak afterward either." Donovan scowled and slipped a detonator into the empty side holster with an ostentatious shove. He said, "Anyway, there you are. So we work with new model robots. It's our job, granted, but answer me one question. Why? Why does something invariably go wrong with them?" "Because," said Powell, somberly, "we are accursed. Let's go." Far ahead through the thick, velvety blackness of the corridors that reached past the illuminated circles of their flashlights, robot light twinkled. "There they are," breathed Donovan. Powell whispered tensely, "I've been trying to get him by radio, but he doesn't answer. The radio circuit is probably out." "Then I'm glad the designers haven't worked out robots who can work in total darkness yet. I'd hate to have to find seven mad robots in a black pit without radio communication if they weren't lit up like blasted radioactive Christmas trees. Crawl up on the ledge above, Mike. They're coming this way, and I want to watch them at close range. Can you make it?" Donovan made the jump with a grunt. Gravity was considerably below Earth normal, but with a heavy suit, the advantage was not too great, and the ledge meant a near 10-foot jump. Powell followed. The column of robots was trailing Dave single file. In mechanical rhythm, they converted to double and returned to single in different order. It was repeated over and over again, and Dave never turned his head. Dave was within 20 feet when the play acting ceased. The subsidiary robots broke formation, waited a moment, then clattered off into the distance, very rapidly. Dave looked after them, then slowly sat down. He rested his head in one hand in a very human gesture. His voice sounded in Powell's earphones. "Are you here, boss?" Powell beckoned to Donovan and hopped off the ledge. "Okay, Dave, what's been going on?" The robot shook his head. "I don't know. One moment I was handling a tough outcropping in Tunnel 17, and the next I was aware of humans close by, and I found myself half a mile down main stem." "Where are the subsidiaries now?" asked Donovan. "Back at work, of course. How much time has been lost?" "Not much. Forget it." Then, to Donovan, Powell added, "Stay with him the rest of the shift. Then, come back. I've got a couple of ideas." It was 3 hours before Donovan returned. He looked tired. Powell said, "How did it go?" Donovan shrugged wearily. "Nothing ever goes wrong when you watch them. Throw me a butt, will you?" The redhead lit it with exaggerated care and blew a careful smoke ring. He said, "I've been working it out, Greg. You know, Dave has a queer background for a robot. There are 6 others under him in an extreme regimentation. He's got life and death power over those subsidiary robots, and it must react on his mentality. Suppose he finds it necessary to emphasize this power as a concession to his ego. Get to the point. It's right here. Suppose we have militarism. Suppose he's fashioning himself an army. Suppose he's training them in military maneuvers. Suppose you go soak your head. Your nightmares must be in technicolor. You're postulating a major aberration of the positronic brain. If your analysis were correct, Dave would have to break down the first law of robotics, that a robot may not injure a human being or, through inaction, allow a human being to be injured. The type of militaristic attitude and domineering ego you propose must have, as the end point of its logical implications, domination of humans. All right. How do you know that isn't the fact of the matter? Because any robot with a brain like that would, one, never have left the factory, and two, be spotted immediately if it ever was. I tested Dave, you know. Powell shoved his chair back and put his feet on the desk. No. We're still in the position where we can't make our stew because we haven't the slightest notion as to what's wrong. For instance, if we could find out what that danse macabre we witnessed was all about, we would be on the way out. He paused.